Welcome to OU.org and www.etshalom.com. My name is Yitzchak Etshalom, and it's a pleasure to be studying the book of Shmuel with you. Today we begin the study of Shmuel Bet, which, as I mentioned in last shiur, in the last lecture, is really an arbitrary place to start a new book. And it's all part of Sefer Shmuel, but nonetheless, it really is a new chapter in Jewish history, the beginning of David's monarchy, although it won't yet be established for several chapters, as any past monarch has the vestiges and remnants of his monarchy that don't extinguish so quickly, as we will see. Vayachre mot Shaul, after the death of Shaul, David yoshav mehakot tamalek, vayeshav David b'siklag yamim shnayim. So David had returned, shav in the past perfect, David had returned from his smiting Amalek, and now had been for 2 days in Siklag. In the meantime, Shaul had died, and all of these things are going to come together. It's on the third day. A man came from the camp, from Shaul. Remember, the last person to come in such circumstances in Perek Dalet had come to tell Eli that his sons had died and the Aron had been taken, etc. Here somebody comes from the camp, from Shaul. His garments were torn. He had dirt on his head. These are signs in Tanakh times of mourning, as we see in several places, including in the beginning of the book of Iyov. He came to David and he fell at his face, on his face, he fell on the ground and prostrated himself. We have already seen his citizens behave this way towards David. Classic example is Abigail when she met David. But here this man comes from the war, from Shaul, and prostrates himself before David. Should certainly be an indicator that this is the new king. However, we will see how that plays out. Vayomer lo David. David said to him, Ei mizeh tavo? Where are you coming from? Vayomer elav, machane Yisrael nimlati. I escaped from the Israelite camp. In other words, from the war. Vayomer elav David, mehaya hadavar, hagedna li. David said, so what happened? Tell me the report. Vayomer asher nasa am min hamelchama. The people fled from the war. Vagam harbena fal min ha'am. And a lot of people died. Vayamutu, and they died. Vigam Shaul v'Yonatan b'no metu. And he said, Shaul and Yonatan, his son, died. Now notice, he doesn't mention the other sons of Shaul. He mentions Shaul and Yonatan. There are two reasons for this. One of them may be that Yonatan was really the far more significant son. And the second is that Yonatan, that the fellow knew that David and Yonatan were very close, and he felt it was important to tell him. On the other hand, the parallel between this and the report that we had at the end of Perek, in the middle of Perek Dalet of the Shmuel Aleph, when the man from Binyamin came to tell Eli what had happened, we find the same report. A lot of people fled, a lot of people died, and two special people, people special to you, died, and of course the fourth piece was the Aron was taken. That's not here. But perhaps Shaul and Yonatan in this parallel Chofni Pinchas, at least in the report, back in Perek Dalet. In any case, Vayomer David al ha'nar ha'magidlo. So David said to the lad who was telling him, Ech yadata ki met Shaul v'Yonatan b'no? How do you know Shaul and Yonatan died? Which is a very fair question, because after all, if you were in the battle itself and you saw them die, how did you survive? And if on the other hand you saw it from a distance, how do you know it was really them? And if on the third hand, of which we only have two, but if the third possibility is that you heard it from someone else, how do you know that it's a trustworthy report? Now, Vayomer nar hamagidlo. So the kid says as follows, Nikro nikreti b'har ha-Gilboa. I happen to be on Har ha-Gilboa. This is a very strange statement to make. You don't just wander into a battlefield. Vine Shaul nish'an al-chanito. He said Shaul was leaning on his spear. So far, it sounds very much like the Shaul we know. Vine ha-rechav al-ea parashimid bikuhu. He was attacked by the chariots and by the cavalry. We know that the Plishtim had huge numbers of them, as we saw reported earlier. Vayifan acharav, and Shaul looked back, vayireni, he saw me, vayikra elai v'omar hineni, he called me, and he said, and he called to me, and I said, here I am. That statement, again, of readiness to do anything at the master's beckon. Vayomer lo mi'ata, and he asked me who I was, va'omar elav amaleki anochi, and I told him, I am an Amaleki. So this fellow admits that he is from Amalek, and he has come to David. Now remember, he's come to David 3 days after David has come back from smiting a tribe of Amalekim, for raiding his camp. So for David, this is going to be a little bit of a red flag. And Shaul said, stand over me and kill me, because I have perhaps had a stroke, or I am in terrible trauma. I'm still alive, but barely alive. I want you to kill me. And so I did. I stood over him, and I finished him off. I knew he wasn't going to live after he had been injured. I took the crown from his head, and the bracelet that was on his arm, and I brought them to you. So in other words, this boy is coming with some jewelry that he claims is Shaul's. Now David at this point believes the kid, or at least believes Shaul is dead, because he tore his garments. So all of David's men tore their garments. Now, how does the kid feel about this? First of all, is the kid telling the truth? Well, we know he's telling the truth that Shaul and Yonatan are dead, but is he telling the truth that he's the one who killed him and that he has first-hand evidence that Shaul died? Second of all, what is the kid's expectation? Is his expectation that David is going to rejoice? Is David's going to mourn? David is going to contemplate? What does he expect? In any case, David's reaction is clearly one of mourning. They wept, and they fasted until evening. Al Shaul v'hol Yahal Yonatan b'no v'ala Am Adonai v'al Beit Yisrael kinaflu b'charev. Now notice that we have an inversion of what happened in Perek Dalet. In Perek Dalet, which we were all too displeased with, the significance went from the army to the two very unfavorable sons of Eli, all the way up to the most important thing being an Aron. Yes, the Aron's important, but the Aron nonetheless is an inanimate object. How can you compare that to the death of 34,000 men in the 2 days of fighting there? Here, the order seems to be corrected. David weeps for Shaul and for Yonatan. He was very close to Yonatan. Shaul was his father-in-law and his mentor, even though he was his tormentor. Nonetheless, he weeps for them. He weeps for Am Hashem, for that's the army, and Al Beit Yisrael, and for the entire people, because we lost the war. That seems to be the proper order to go if you're building up to a greater sense of mourning. And now, that all happens over the course of the day. We now slip back to the immediate response of David to this kid talking to him. And he asked him, where are you from? Ben Ish Ger Amaleki Anochi. I am the son of a Ger Amaleki. Now, what the Ger Amaleki here means, in rabbinic terms, a convert from Amalek, or whether it means I'm a stranger, an Amaleki stranger, because that's what he had said to Shaul. He didn't say I'm a Jew. He said I'm an Amaleki, according to his own report. How were you not afraid to kill Mashiach Hashem? In other words, what David is saying to the boy is what we know really happened is that Shaul's weapons carrier, who we have no reason to think was an Amaleki, nonetheless was afraid to kill his own master, and Shaul had to kill himself. How are you not afraid to kill Mashiach Hashem? By the way, this mention of Mashiach Hashem does not mean that the kid was Jewish. Anybody would recognize this is the anointed one. And David then called one of the boys and had him kill this Amaleki. And then he declares the sentence, which we have to assume he declares before he kills him. David, damcha al roshecha. Your blood is on your own head. In other words, you caused your own death. Why? Kificha anna b'chalemor. Your mouth has testified against you to say, Anochi motatit Mashiach Adonai. I killed the anointed one of God. In other words, David isn't saying you did it. He's saying, based on your own testimony, you killed the anointed one of God, therefore you will die. Now, what does David actually believe happened here? The likelihood, David knowing Shaul as well as he does, the likelihood that Shaul would engage a known Amaleki, who is the Achilles heel of Shaul, it was his pitfall with Amalek that led to his downfall, and stripping him of the monarchy, at least officially, to think that Shaul would actually turn to somebody who identified himself as Amalek and say, please kill me, is unfathomable. Shaul has a very jaundiced and disgracing eye towards his enemies, both the Plishtim and the Amalekim, as we see evidenced several times throughout the text. So David undoubtedly does not believe this guy. But what does he think has happened? Evidently, the Amalekim, who were nomads, and as we see in perhaps in Perek Tevav, but certainly in Perek Lamed, are people who will take advantage of situations of vulnerability. We now have a circumstance where both the Philistine and Israelite army are up in the north. So what are the Amalekim doing in the meantime? Evidently, they are spying to see where these people are so that they can know where the vulnerable cities are. Which means this kid is some sort of a spy who has gotten information, has seen what's happened, and he comes back with this report. He's part of this group and that is willing to take advantage of the vulnerability, just as happened with David in the last 2 days, 3 days earlier, when the Amalekim took advantage of his being at war to raid at their camp. So that means that this fellow is nothing more than something akin to a grave robber. And the fact that he has the crown and he has the bracelet means that indeed he was spying there, and he happened upon Shaul after Shaul died, and then he made up this whole story about himself, thinking that David would honor him because he had killed David's nemesis. But David, of course, caught on to it and had him executed, both for being a member of this exploitative tribe, and because, based on his own claim, he had killed Shaul. In any case, David then turns into one of the most powerful passages in all of Tanakh. David forms an elegy for Shaul and Yonatan, Vaikonen David et ha-kina zot al Shaul v'al Yonatan b'no. To give proper treatment to this kina would take several hours. But nonetheless, we'll try to do it in a modest fashion. David gave a kina, a eulogy, an elegy, sorry, for Shaul and Yonatan, his son. Vayomer, and he said, Lameid b'nei Yehuda kashet, to teach the children of Yehuda how to shoot bow and arrow. Hinech tuval sefer yashar. The simple implication of this is that David is saying that we all have to be good soldiers, and Hinech tuval sefer yashar may be a reference, as Ibn Ezra says, to a book out there, Sefer Yashar, that recorded something about gallantry in war and about valorous fighting, or it may be a reference to another one of the books of Tanakh, as Chazal suggests, perhaps Sefer Bereshit. Hatzvi Yisrael, the fleet one of Israel, or Hatzvi, right, is calling to Israel in the vocative, Alba Motecha Chalal, on your high places, the reference to Gilboa, are the dead bodies, Ech Naflu Giborim, the word Ech here is akin to Echa, how could it be that the heroes have fallen? Al Tagidu Vigat Al Tavazru B'chutzot Ashkelon, and in typical poetic form, everything is presented here in parallel. Do not tell in Gat, a Plishti city. Do not give the news in the suburbs of, in the outskirts of Ashkelon, a Plishti city. Why? Don't tell them. Petismachna benot Plishtim, pentaalozna benot ha'arelim. Lest the children, the daughters of the Plishtim rejoice, lest the daughters of these arelim, these uncircumcised ones, be happy. And again, we get the images we had back in Perek Yudchet, as an example of how, after a victory, the girls would come out and dance and celebrate. We do not want to see our enemies doing that. Hush, hush, don't tell them. Now, of course, as often and usually happens with poetry, we don't mean these words literally. The news is already out. They're already celebrating. This is the imagery. Not to let them know, because such terrible news will lead to them celebrating, and their celebration makes our loss that much more painful. Although we try to avoid political discussion in this forum, it is very hard not to conjure up the image of people living right in our own backyard in Eretz Yisrael, celebrating as terrible events befall us, whether September 11th or whether the terrible events that fall us when terrorists attack, and seeing them rejoice at the news of this terror. Hareva Gilboa, Al Talvi Al Matar Alechem. One of the elements of a kina is to curse the time and place that it happened. At the beginning of Eov curses the night that he was conceived and the day that he was born. Here, David curses the mountain. He says, there should be no dew or rain that falls upon you. Usdei Trumot, on the high fields. Kisham Niga'al Magen Giborim. There, the shield of the heroes, the shield of Shaul, was rejected. Magen Shaul bli Mashiach Bashamin. This is a reference to the fact that in ancient war, they would lubricate the shield so that arrows that come would kind of bounce off, would be slippery. Nobody had oiled his shield, the shield of Shaul. Midam chalalim mechelev giborim. This mem is a locative mem from the blood of corpses, from the fat of the brave, which is a reference, as we see later in the sentence. Keshet Yehonatan lo nasaga chor. The bow of Yonatan was never pulled back. In other words, he was always ready to do battle and to draw blood and to pierce the fat or the muscles of the giborim. V'cherev Shaul lo tashuv rekam. And Shaul's sword would never come back empty. It would always find its target. He's praising Yonatan and Shaul as valiant, successful warriors. Shaul v'Yonatan ha'ne'ahavim v'hane'imim b'chayehem uv'motam lo nifradu. Shaul and Yonatan, who were beloved and pleasant in their lives. This, of course, is David talking, who has been pursued by Shaul. But nonetheless, and in their death, they were not separated. Shaul and Yonatan, much like the promise of Ruth and Naomi, were joined together even in death. Minisharim kalu, they were lighter than eagles. Mayarot gaveru, they were more powerful or more courageous than lions. And look at this terrible loss. Benot Yisrael, now just as the daughters of the Plishtim would be the ones to rejoice, the daughters of Israel should be the ones to weep. The young maidens throughout, or always throughout Tanakh, always the ones to give expression to the national sentiment, whether it's celebration of a victory or weeping. Yirmiyahu calls to the mekonenot, the weepers, the ululators. Eich naflu giborim betochama, as Benot Yisrael el Shaul bechena. Benot Yisrael should weep for Shaul. Hamalbishchem shani im adanim. He makes it very simple. He is the one who gives you the beautiful red scarlet garments with jewels. In other words, the conquest of war. Hamealeh adi zahav al levushchen. He puts beautiful golden jewelry on your garments. Ech naflu giborim. He goes back to the main theme of the kinah. How have the mighty fallen? Betoch hamelchama. Yonatan alba motacha chalal. Yonatan, and now he turns to Yonatan, has fallen on the high places as a corpse. Tsarli alecha achi Yonatan, my brother Yonatan, it is very painful for me on your account. Na'amta limeod, again the word na'im, they were pleasant together, now you were very pleasant to me. Nifla'ata avatcha limeavat nashim, your love for me was greater than the love for women. The friendship between Yonatan and David was greater than erotic or romantic love. Ech naflu giborim vayovdu klei mochama. How could the mighty have fallen and all of the vessels of war are lost? This is David's kinah, in which he not only chiefly but exclusively sees the greatness of Shaul as a warrior and accurately omits any mention of Shaul as a politician, which of course in that regard Shaul was either nothing or a failure, but he greatly praises Shaul for his valor on the battlefront, and for the curse of this place Gilboa, that no rain should fall, because it is a place where Shaul was somehow ill prepared, and his shield was not lubricated, and he was not ready for war, and that's how he died. Ech naflu giborim is the theme here. This is a kinah which traditionally many communities is read on the fourth day of Iyar, when we remember our valiant soldiers who died in defense of Eretz Yisrael and in helping to create and to protect Medinat Yisrael. Zichram Yehi Baruch. Everyone should have a wonderful day, and we will continue with Perek Bet in the next podcast.